Right back at it on the Fan in New York. Inside the 1 a.m. hour. KM to 2 a.m. This is my last hour, so call 888-808-1019 if you want to talk about the Mets, Yankees, or Willie Mays. But let's be mindful of other people on hold, other people calling. I try to give you guys enough time to get your point across. I try to respect all my callers, listeners. But, you know, this show will end soon. It'll end in like 50 minutes. So let's get back to the phones. Let's get right to it. Matt is in Albany. Matt, you're on the Fan.
Hey, morning, Keith. Thanks for taking my call.
No problem.
I want to do my best to get through a couple of poignant memories of the Say Hey Kid. I was lucky enough to see him play at the tail end of his wonderful career in New York. My father and I, God rest his soul, were lucky enough to be at Shea the night that he hit his next to last Major League home run. And, you know, from that day forward, every time that we would be around people and there would be a discussion of great players, before Mays' name ever came up, my father and I would look at each other with a knowing bit of knowledge that we had shared this very special moment. And I have, to this day, I have the scorecard in my father's hand. And it's amazing how a 25-cent scorecard, 51 years later, can be such a treasured artifact. And I just wanted to share one other thing. I also was at Willie Mays' night when he announced his retirement. And for the first time in my life, I was 10 years old, I saw all around me by the score, grown men, manly men, shedding copious tears. And it was at that very moment that I totally understood Willie Mays' greatness.
Yep.
Thank you for letting me share. And God bless him. May he always be remembered. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for the call, Matt. Yeah, I mean, there's just a lot coming out from the internet. A lot of people. Mick in Rocky Point, I saw you were on the line. You probably had to go to sleep. But if you're listening, you know, I know your birthday, I believe, is May 3rd. Mine's May 1st. Willie Mays is May 6th. And I believe you're the same age as Willie Mays. And I know you're a Dodgers fan. So, you know, I'm sure you had some thoughts. I couldn't get to you fast enough. But I see Barry Bonds just wrote on his Instagram a couple hours ago. He said, "I'm beyond devastated and overcome with emotion. I have no words to describe what you mean to me. You helped shape me to be who I am today. Thank you for being my godfather and always being there. Give my dad a hug for me. Rest in peace, Willie. I love you forever. Hashtag say hey." And then, I mean, we all got this news during the games tonight. Starting pitcher for the San Francisco Giants, Logan Webb, said he found out about Willie Mays' passing when the Cubs announced it to the crowd as he was taking the mound to pitch in the sixth inning. And then he went on to say, "It was hard at first. I took my hat off and I was looking at the scoreboard and just thinking about him. I kind of looked at the umpire and I was like, I think you need to stop the clock. I needed to take a moment to think about it and be prideful for the jersey I was wearing and the hat that I was wearing, knowing Willie did the same." So, you know, he's just an icon. He's just a larger-than-life baseball player, and you celebrate someone like that's life and legacy, and we're going to get a lot of that today, Juneteenth, June the 19th, leading into the Rickwood Field game, June 20th. Let's go to Dave in Belleville on the Fan. Hello, Dave. How are you?
Hello, Keith. How you been?
All right. You know, doing the job.
Yep. Yeah, we normally talk Cowboys, but I think to say hey takes precedence over everything.
Absolutely.
I'm like the last caller. I'm going to be 60 in September, so I really just remember him playing for the Mets. You know, he was already washed up. Washed up, but, you know, to his standards, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
When I just looked up, I noticed he was the oldest living Hall of Famer.
Probably makes sense. 93 years old.
Louis Aparicio. One thing that people don't realize, with his 660 home runs, where he played, the fences were so far. You know, it's amazing that he hit that many. You know,
yeah.
In New York, plus in Candlestick, and right. It was no easy feat. But yeah, he will be missed. And do you think that they might retire that number? Or I guess you really can't. You have to draw. They didn't do it for Mantle, I guess.
I don't know. I mean, the Mets did, and I'm assuming it's retired for the San Francisco Giants. I don't know if baseball overall will do that. Thanks for the call, Dave. We were, you know, listening to, I think, Morash and Tiki talking about all the Yankees numbers that are retired with Ben Rice coming up wearing 93, and it's like, oh, man, this kid's wearing 93. There's no numbers left. Judge wearing 99. I mean, retiring numbers. There was a conversation yesterday about retiring Jacob DeGrom's number. What? For winning a couple Cy Youngs? I said, they'll put the statue up a grimace before they retire DeGrom's number. Let's go to Joe in Santa Barbara, California on the fan. Hello, Joe. You got it.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. You know, I was at work kind of listening to the Mets game, and then the news broke of, you know, Willie Mays passing, and I was like, oh, man, you know, I think that, I don't know, I does it sound selfish of me to say maybe this is like another catalyst they need to make a run at it? You know, just like they were so far behind in 73 when he was with the team.
No, you know? I mean, hey, it's I hadn't thought of that, but maybe you can add that to this. Right, Willie Mays passes, and the Mets are down four runs, and they come all the way back to win tonight, 7-6, and yeah, sure.
Win it for the Senhei kid.
Sure.
You know? But the other point I kind of wanted to make was, you know, it's weird that, like, the Yankee contingent of the WFAN hosts are, like, more pulling for the Mets than the Met fan hosts, like Brandon and, or not Brandon, but Sal and Evan, you know, like Sal and Evan, it's just like, it's like they won't buy into this whole thing. And sometimes it's a little depressing to hear it because, like, I'm listening to Sal to, like, I, you know, with the time difference, like, I get the end of BT and Sal. And then, like, I get, you know, then I get kind of Evan and Tiki, and it's just like, they're just like so.
I think they're jaded. I've listened to them. I think that there's a lot of PTSD there. There's a lot of trauma there. There's a, you know, fear of getting hurt, getting sucked back in, and not wanting to believe, because it just sets you up for, like, okay, if, you know, if this is just one hot week and the Mets aren't this, then the joke is on the host that buy too much into it. That can't happen for me. That can't happen for C-Mac. That can't happen for BT. So, of course, and we know it's better for the station, it's better for the town, for both teams to be good. And I think we're all leaning into the whole grimace thing. It's great. It's out of nowhere, and it can't hurt. But I think the Mets fan hosts, they're the ones afraid of being hurt again. Thanks for the call, Joe. Like, you know, Sal didn't even want to embrace the grimace thing. Sal did a show last week by himself where he's saying, I can't take it anymore. The Mets are terrible. The Yankees are going to win the World Series. Then he comes in today and he's like, the Mets are back. The Mets are back, baby. That was fun. 22 hits. And, you know, Evan talking about, oh, if the Mets make the postseason, I'll get a tattoo of grimace. Like, all right, Evan, enough with the dares and the bets. You already shaved your beard. See, imagine if you waited a little bit longer to shave your beard. And it could have been you instead of Grimace, Evan. If they come back and make the playoffs this year, I quit. I can't take it anymore. He ain't quitting this job. He's not quitting. And I heard Sal even compare his NL East is over. Him proclaiming that the NL East was over. And he tries to parlay that with the Grimace thing, like, Grimace has nothing to do with the Mets run, just like I have nothing to do with the Mets collapse. Hey, buddy, wait. It's not the same.
I'm a baby.
It's not the same. Jonathan in Los Angeles, my guy, you're back on the fan in New York.
Yo, what's good, Keith? First things first, man, rest in peace. God rest his soul, Willie Mays, man. I don't really know a lot from, I mean, I'm 34 years old. But I just know from me being a big baseball fan in general, I just know from the videos and from the history of and Willie Mays being the pioneer of baseball, which he was, man. And I really appreciate, like, everything what he did for the game. It's funny, when the Yankees were in San Francisco, my 6.5-year-old son was like, who's him? And I was like, who's handling? I was like, Bobby, that's Willie Mays. Look, he did a really good catch, and he was a really, really good baseball player.
Good.
And, yeah, man. But
many will learn about Willie Mays over the next few days.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. As indeed, man. And, yo, man, really quick, bro, those Mets fans are funny. I'm going to leave it at that, bro. It's getting crazy out there, man. Keith, we dodged a massive injury, bro. We started off with the cold, then we jumped to the Soto, and then to the Judges. Like, bro, it's getting out of control. But good thing everything came out positive. Everything came out good, man. Like you say, Keith, June is a crucial month. I know it's a long season. But let me tell you something, Keith. I'm not scared of the Orioles, just like you, bro. This year is different. This year we don't got the Astros. We don't got no one standing in front of us, bro. As long as we could make it to October or to the last week of September healthy,
we're
good to go, man. If something needs to happen, no, hopefully not that serious, let it happen right now. But not the last week of September, bro. Hey, and one more thing, Keith. Happy belated Father's Day, brother.
You too, bro. Appreciate you, man. Thank you. I mean, everybody's banged up. Everybody in baseball is banged up. You know, we had the biggest series in baseball with the Dodgers and the Yankees. Yamamoto revved himself up to pitch in front of Brian Cashman again. He's on the IL. You see Judge get hit today, and luckily he got hit on, like, the fat part of his hand on the, you know, like, the when you make a fist and you got that little, like, and it didn't hit so much bone. But, man, Mookie Betts got hit, like, right on his, broke his whole hand. It's tough. It's baseball. You're going to lose players. But for the Yankees, man, pray for health because this team is really good. I saw somebody tweet at me earlier about the Seattle Mariners. Please, like, miss me with the Seattle Mariners, even when we played them. Tez TV. Talk about the Mariners, right? Because I post my, here we go, KM to AM, and, you know, the link so people that follow me on Twitter can listen. The Mariners, best record in June at 12-4, 10-game lead over the second-place Texas Rangers and Houston Astros. Who cares? Who cares? I would love to get in a series with y'all. Like, if that's who we got to beat in the ALCS, the Mariners, oh, joyous days ahead for the New York Yankees. Let's take a couple more calls. Paul in Little Falls, thanks for holding. Got to you.
How are you today, Keith?
I'm all right. You know, I'm blessed to have the opportunity to host this show, and there's been plenty of times where things have happened that I wasn't expecting, and I try to just do my best on the fly to incorporate them, like this, you know, Willie Mays passing last night.
Yeah, I'll bet. I got a couple of stories for you, if you'll bear with me.
Mm-hmm.
My father took me to see Willie Mays play late in his career. It was in 73. I was 14 years old. The Mets got four runs in the bottom of the first. The Giants, that's who they were playing, they ended up getting a grand slam in the top of the fifth, and Willie Mays gets a solo home run in the bottom of the fifth to win this game 5-4 for the Mets. He took me to the game because he wanted me to see Willie Mays play because we didn't really care about the Mets or the Giants. We were both Yankee fans. Still are, and that's story number one. He mm-hmm. just wanted me to see him play.
Good dad.
And yes, he certainly was. And I got to see Willie Mays play when it went on them Giant teams with Bonds and McCovey and that crowd, Marichal, that crowd. All right, the second story I have for you is Willie Mays was given an interview at one time, and he was going on about his career. About a series he was playing in Baltimore in either 1950 or 1951. And he's going on, and he starts this story with the first game he got two homers and a double. The second game he got two homers and a triple. The third game he comes up for his first at bat, and the racial stuff coming out from the stands is just ungodly, I'm sure, as you can imagine back then. And there's a public address system, and the announcer comes over the loudspeaker, and he says to the crowd, "Ladies and gentlemen, I understand you don't like this boy too much, but could you please lay off of him because he's been killing us."
Right.
I mean, I really enjoy listening to those kind of stories.
Yeah,
and that was really I mean, that really, it's just a funny story. It's like listening to umpires calling balls and strikes sometimes.
Thanks for the call, Paul. That's great. And, like, that goes back to what I'm talking about, how Willie Mays tried to use his superpowers on that baseball field to create change, but also to fight racism. Okay. Inside these lines, on this baseball diamond, you guys aren't out here. I'm out here. And you're going to keep calling me the N-word. You're going to keep using racial slurs. You're going to keep saying all these negative, nasty things towards me. I'm going to make you pay. There's another one. Gone. And another one. See ya. And another extra base hit. Like, you know, I can't imagine, man. I can't imagine. It's like we talk about pressure that athletes face today because of social media and the money they make. There was no social media back then, and they weren't making anywhere near the money that these athletes make. They had to go out there with real hate and racism and threats to their lives. Their lives being on the line when they left the building, but they would go out there and use their athleticism and their superpowers to entertain and also to defeat that hate and racism. Like, that's how you shut people up. You know, I made the parallel earlier. I'm like, all of this negativity around Caitlin Clark and how people have made this such a divisive thing with this young girl, this young woman going into the WNBA, having more hype than anyone who's ever entered the WNBA and making it about race and making it about her sexual preference and making it about all these other things. I said the only thing left for her to do is dominate, figure out how to dominate. And it's not just on her. It's on the Indiana Fever. It's on her teammates. Because I'm like, once she dominates, the critics shut up. Once she's the best player, once she's an MVP, once she's winning champions, nobody can say any of that other stuff. So that's, you know, that's what you got to love about sports. Sports don't discriminate. They used to, but, like, you know, the color barriers have been broken down for a long time. If you can play, you can play. And it's not about where you're from or who you are. It's about, can you play the game? And if you're dominant and you're good, you can break down walls and barriers and stereotypes, and that's exactly who Willie Mays was. He was the best. And, you know, you heard Lou call in talking about how, you know, his own father wouldn't let him go to the ballpark wearing number 24. Now, there's racism in that, and then I also had the thought maybe he was trying to protect his son. But, you know, kids, like, I have a young kid of my own. And I see a lot of little kids now as I go to the library and I go to the park. Kids don't see racism. They don't see color and race. And that's a cliche thing to say, but, like, that's taught. That hate is passed down. It is picked up. It's not hereditary. It's not genetic. It's not in you. And like I said, I'm glad that we're further and further away from the times that Willie Mays had to fight and become. How could somebody so great entertain so many people, give his gift to so many, and still be treated like garbage for something that he didn't choose? He was born black. And I know there's a lot of people, like myself included, that can relate with that struggle. It is what it is. You just got to be great. You got to push through. You got to fight and hope for better days. Hope for better days. And now, you know, we're in better days, man. This Field of Dreams in Rickwood Field, this field that they restored, the history that they're going to show on Fox on Thursday, it's now tomorrow, on, you know, you're going to start now with everything happens for a reason. The universe never unconnects. With the passing of Willie Mays, if MLB didn't do a good enough job, in your opinion, on marketing this game, the passing of Willie Mays will bring more eyes and ears and clicks and attention to what's going on down there in Alabama, and I think that's great. I was planning on talking about it for the first time really tonight into tomorrow, and I'm going to continue talking about it. 888-808-1019. Let's keep rolling, man. I could take another call or two before we break. I'm only on till 12, so let's go to CJ out in Brooklyn. CJ, you're on the Fan.
Hey, Keith, how you doing, my man?
I'm good, CJ. How are you?
I'm good, my brother. Listen, man, you was just talking about it, man. That's the thing I wanted to hit on. You know, like, it's good to see a young black brother like yourself, man, on the radio and accomplishing some good stuff, man. You're a role model to a lot of young kids out there, whether you know it or not, man.
I know it, and I thank you for saying it. And you know, like, as I speak of Willie Mays, It isn't as hard for me to do what I've done and accomplished. It's been challenging. There's been a ton of roadblocks. There's still a lot of blocks. There's still, you know, some quiet racism. There's still some quiet bias. There's still things that I go through every day, every week, being who I am. There's still, you know, open racism online. I still read my name with a lot of dumb stuff, a lot of nonsense. But I understand what I'm doing, I know it's not as hard for me to do this.
Be proud of what you're doing, man.
Of course.
Be proud of what you're doing because like, it, you know, like longevity has its place, man. You put in your time, you put in the work. So, you know, and like you're getting the rewards now, and God bless you. And I know you got a little kid and stuff. So you're growing up. Like, I'm 61 years old, man. So I've been around for a minute, but you know, I you know, like, just to take it back a little bit to baseball, I've seen Willie Mays at the end of his career when he's with the Mets and everything. And, you know, he was just a shell of himself at that time. But, like all time, I think he's one of the greatest players that ever played the game.
Yeah.
You know, and the fact that he was black and he had to deal with racism, that was the time he was in. Falling of the time. Yep. You know what I'm saying? That's what it was back in where we lived back then.
You know? Jackie Robinson gets all of the conversation. He wasn't the only one.
Yeah. No, there's a bunch of people, man. And, you know, like, it's something we deal with on a regular basis. I've been called the N-word, and I'm not even black, but I'm dark-skinned and I'm Puerto Rican.
Yeah.
But I've been called the N-word so many times, I thought that was my name.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? That's like, unfortunate.
Yeah. But it's all right, though, because I come through. You know, I did all right for myself, and I raised my kids, and I do what I had to do. You know what I'm saying? But, listen, we overcome. That's what, you know, like, nobody said it better than Martin Luther King, man. We overcome. But we have to put in the work. It's not nothing nobody going to give us.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
And you got to know that, you know, first, and don't give any power to any words, and don't let anybody affect you with negativity and hate. And,
you know,
just be great. Yeah. That, like, Willie Mays just knew I could go out there and control what I can control and be great.
You know, the best part of the play Willie Mays had wasn't even the catch. It was the throw. Because, you know, when he threw that back, that ball went almost all the way to the home plate.
I was just watching Vin Scully talk about, the most remarkable part of that play was getting the ball back in from how deep he was in center field.
He almost threw the guy out trying to tag from third.
Crazy.
And you know, the talent was there. You talk about five tools, he had about seven of them.
Yeah. Loved the game. Knew the game in and out and could play it all day and gave his life to it.
Right. The only one I ever seen that even come close, another brother, which we don't have enough color people playing baseball anymore, but that's a whole different thing. Mm-hmm. But Ken Griffey Jr.
Yeah.
That boy, he could play.
Yeah.
He had all the tools. He had the only thing, he just got injured too much during his career, and he really shortchanged himself. But he would have been another Willie Mays, you know, if given the opportunity.
Yeah, in the 90s. Thanks for the call, CJ. Appreciate you, man. Yeah. as a Yankee fan, I mean, I was a Ken Griffey Jr. fan, right? You got the kid and the Say Hey Kid. Everybody was a Ken Griffey Jr. fan, man. I remember going to Little League Baseball camp, and they had this Ken Griffey Jr. swing thing that we would practice swinging through, and everybody wanted to wear their hat backwards. And, you know, I remember hearing young as a Yankee fan that when Ken Griffey Sr. was with the Yankees, I think it was Craig Nettles. Greg Nettles' son might have been you know, on the field at Yankee Stadium practicing and taking ground balls. And Ken Griffey Sr. brought Ken Griffey Jr. to do the same thing. Like, if Greg Nettles' kid can, you know, be out there. And now you see a bunch of kids. Now, there were, you know, I saw some of the Orioles had some of their kids out there in Yankee Stadium. I saw Freddie Freeman had his son on the field in Yankee Stadium taking batting practice. Now that's very common. But, you know, when Ken Griffey Jr. was coming up, there was racism, and there's just always little roadblocks for black folks. There's just always little things. Somebody with power can just say, no, you can't do that. And Ken Griffey Jr. told the story about hating the Yankees and not wanting to ever play for the Yankees because he wasn't allowed on the field. He wasn't allowed to play when, you know, other white kids were playing whose dads were on the team, and he felt some type of way about that racism, and he carried that. He wanted to be a Yankee killer and didn't want to play for the Yankees. And yeah, it's crazy, man. I love the game of baseball. I know how much race is involved in the game, in the history of the game. You just heard CJ say, oh, not that many black ball players, man. I've done a lot of research and work, and I remember doing presentations in school about the decline of the black athlete in baseball, and how once upon a time there were Willie Mays's and Hank Aaron's, and then even, you know, the Ken Griffey Jr.'s and Tony Gwynn and Barry Bonds. And it's just those players are evaporating. There's not that many anymore for a number of reasons. There's so many reasons, you know. I don't know if that's going to change. I know that there's groups that are trying to fight it. I know that, man, if we had more black players playing baseball instead of hooping or playing football or whatever else, like, the league would be different. But the Latin explosion has happened. I don't mind that at all. The Hispanic players from across the globe have come in and dominated MLB and added some swag to it. If you didn't see that coming, and baseball is a great game. It's, you know, the Japanese Little League World Series. I've been out to Williamsport. I used to go to camp there. Back-to-back years I went. I think when I was like 8 or 9 I went. And, you know, the Japanese just won the World Baseball Classic last year. And how many years you see those young Japanese kids come and dominate the Little League World Series? It's a global game. But here, you know, there's way more people locked in on the NBA and the NFL and way more kids that want to be football players and basketball players. But baseball will never die. It'll never go away. We just got to keep talking about it and watching it. And, you know, I had something in my notes yesterday. Baseball just had its best weekend of attendance in X amount of years. Let's, before we go to break, let's get that actually straight. So Friday through Sunday saw the best weekend in attendance across MLB since 2008. MLB's 45 games drew over 1.68 million fans for an average of 37,000 plus per game. Best attended weekend since August of 2008. And the highest Sunday total, 612,000 plus people. Baseball is back. Baseball never left. Fans never left, but baseball is back as far as people showing up to ballparks and interest. And yeah, I really do think with the passing of Willie Mays, losing Willie Mays 2 days before the Rickwood Field game where they were going to honor him, he was going to be a major theme in this. He wasn't going to be able to show up, so it's still going to go on, but I think they're going to add even more to celebrate his life now that he's passed, and I think even more people are going to check out this Negro League ballpark that was renovated. There's only two in America that are still there. The other one is not far from here in Paterson, New Jersey. And you've heard Keith McPherson on The Fan talking about that for a couple years now. You've heard me have the mayor of Paterson join me, Hinchcliffe Stadium in Paterson. We're going to see this happen tomorrow down there in Alabama. And I know it can happen up here in Paterson, New Jersey next. Keith McPherson on The Fan. Call me up if you want to be on the show next. It's 888-808-1019. I've got 25 minutes. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Another KM to 2 a.m. I think I have 18 minutes to take my last six calls here. So you guys get a couple minutes each. Let's get right back to it. 888-808-1019. If you don't get on with me, you'll get on with C-Mac next. Joel is in Newark. What's up, Joel or Joel? You're on The Fan.
Hello, Keith.
Hello.
So, yeah, I'm long-time listener, first-time caller. So I got two questions for you. My first one is going to be, who is the best MLB player currently? And number two, do you think Jaylen Brown is well-deserved as MVP?
Well, Judge, I've been going on about Judge and how I won't question Judge. I won't doubt Judge ever again because he shut everybody up in the month of May. He's the silencer. Whenever you think something about him, he shows up and he makes you eat your words. I just think he's the best hitter I've seen. Judge is the MVP just based off of what he did in May, bouncing back from April. Obviously, Shohei Ohtani being able to pitch and hit the way he does is the best player in baseball, but he's not able to do both of those right now. It's Judge.
For sure.
Jaylen Brown being the MVP, I was looking at the votes. It could have been Jason Tatum, but I'm glad that it's him. Like, good for him getting that. But, like, those two are a tandem, and they have a ridiculous team. Like, that team, like, I still just don't understand who allowed that team to be put together with Drew Holiday and Kristaps Porzingis and Horford and White. And I just they just have a whole squad, man. They they were the best team in basketball all year, and then they didn't face anybody that was at full strength in the playoffs. Good for Boston, I guess. Thanks for the call, Joel. I mean, I'm still salty over that, the fact that, you know, Boston is celebrating another championship, of course.
I know who put that team together. It was the ball. It was
Brad Stevens.
No, it was the Brooklyn Nets, because they traded all the pieces away, and that's how the Mets.
Yo, who cut this guy's mic on? Obviously, it was Billy King, Mikhail Prokhorov, that old regime for the Brooklyn Nets that wanted so badly to just cut the line, that just wanted to build a contender, and they actually took those WASH players and added them to Jason Kidd as a head coach, Darren Williams, Brooke Lopez. I'm like, yeah, this will work.
Shout out to Kevin Garnett and Paul Pierce. Am I right?
That's the truth. Kevin Garnett, Paul Pierce, Jason Terry. Yeah, I was there. I was at the playoffs. Blackout in Brooklyn, April 13th. No, April 26th, 2013, against the Bulls. I was at the game before Nate Robinson dropped like 50 on the Brooklyn Nets. Dave is in Woodmere. Dave, you're on the Fan.
Hey, Keith, how are you?
I'm all right. Thanks for calling.
Love the show. Love the positivity.
Thank you.
You know, obviously, sad day in baseball with Willie Mays passing.
Yeah.
But I love how you've taken a positive spin on it.
Sure.
Anyways, a quick point. You know, I don't really care how good the record is, or at least how good the regular season record is, I will never, as a Yankee fan, be afraid of the Baltimore Orioles until they prove it to me in the postseason.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. Till they prove it to me in the regular season. I still go back to last year because I was at those games. I'm like, they weren't that much better than the 82-80 Yankees.
Right, 100%. Now, Keith, can I ask you one thing, off air if possible?
Yeah. I'm going to put you on hold, ask Manny, and we'll relay the message. Thanks for the call, Dave. Let's go to Anthony and Bayonne. Ant, you're on the Fan.
Hey, how's it going?
You know, it's going pretty fast. I've got 14 minutes, so I can slow the pace some.
Yeah. First of all, I'm happy for you and all your success, and I'm mostly happy Juneteenth getting the recognition it deserves, but on a less serious note, I want to talk some baseball.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
First, how about them Mets? I don't know how they're doing it. And two, I'm a Yankees fan. The Yankees cannot dive into this Judge being hit by a pitch tonight. I think it was an accident. I don't want them to retaliate. Cole needs to go out there, throw a good game. Do not get into this thing with the Orioles in the regular season.
Yeah, no, Cole's not doing that. Cole's not doing that. And Nestor went up in on Gunnar Henderson. I think that was it. And I think they even asked Nestor at the end of the game, like, you know, the reporters, I don't know why, they're trying to instigate and trying to make it something more than it is, but they kept asking Boone about it. They were asking Nestor about it, and these guys are like, whatever, yo. Like, no, we're not trying to hurt them. We're not trying to retaliate and hit them. They hit Glaber, they hit Judge. Accidents happen. We want to beat them. We need these games from them. We need to sweep them, honestly.
Of course. Yeah, wait till. Don't do anything regular season. You own the Orioles. Don't focus on it. Don't try to get in a little hit by pitch battle. You're better than them. Let's just keep playing baseball and we'll beat them in the postseason. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, simple as that. And I mean, I'm not worried about them. I'm not scared of them. Last year they got swept in the postseason. They're still young. They're still developing. They're still becoming. And they still don't really even have that great of pitching. Thanks for the call, Ant. I'm trying to find the Nestor Yes Network quote from the post game. But either way, yeah, you think Gerrit Cole's coming back in his first start to throw at Adley Rutschman? Like, it's just not, they're not on that. They'll go to sleep tonight with the win, and they'll forget all about it tomorrow. And yeah, sure, we'll talk about it as fans, and I'm sure the broadcast will talk about it. You know, Aaron Judge will be scratched from the lineup. Aaron Judge is, you know, icing up and taking care of his hand. But no, it was an accident. It wasn't intentional, and they're not going to make anything more of it. I'll keep scrolling to try and find exactly what Nestor said when asked about it. Let's go to Carmen in Linden, New Jersey. Carmen, you're on the Fan in New York.
Okay, Keith, I just want you to know I think you do a great job, and I love listening to you.
Thank you.
I'll start that. You're welcome, Keith, and God bless you. God bless your son.
Appreciate it.
You're welcome. I just want to say something about Willie. I call him Willie. and Mickey Mantle, Willie Mays, Mickey Mantle. I'm going to be 75 years old. I was lucky enough. I was about 7 or 8 when Mickey and Willie both came up around 1956. Boy, it's so many years ago. Mm. I used to do the comparison between Willie and Mickey. And when Mickey Mantle first came up, he was quick. He was fast. But then he had all the injuries. But as far as Willie goes, I never in all the years, and I still watch baseball every day. I'm a big Yankee fan. I've never seen anybody run the bases the way Willie Mays ran the bases. The instinct, the pursuit, the way he ran the bases, it was like he had a sixth sense, and he was an amazing, well, of course, he was amazing at everything, but nobody really talks that much about that. So I'm giving you a point. I know you. You're young. You would have never seen him.
No, I've seen clips and documentaries, and we hear about the hitting and the defensive prowess and the five tools. But that's, you know, from what you've seen with your eyes on the base paths, no one better.
No, absolutely. I'll let you go. And again, God bless you, son, and you do a fantastic job. And I love the empathy and the way you handle your fans. You never act like there's guys that act like they know it all. I love the way you do your business and keep the same way. You'll go really far. You're a young man. I'm an old guy, but I really enjoy what you do. Thanks, Keith.
Thank you, Carmen. Yeah, there's no acting. I don't know it all. When I'm wrong, I say I'm wrong. And I don't know who's calling. I don't know you guys. You could be smarter than me, better educated than me. You might know something I don't. Carmen just knew a bunch of stuff about Willie Mays because he's older than me and he shared that. And I don't know, man. I get it. I understand what the radio is. I understand specifically sports talk radio and even more directly here. There's just a certain culture that exists of, you know, the host being these, like, whatever. I don't care about that. I am the same way that I am on the radio. If you see me in person anywhere, I was raised to be a certain way. And through my own travels and journey, I am who I am. I'm not going to change. I could be on the nighttime show, the morning, the midday, the afternoon, or off WFAN completely. I'll be the same person. I can promise you that. I appreciate people that call my show, that enjoy my show, that interact with me online. The love overpowers the hate. I appreciate the haters as well, though. Like, you know, this is a blessed position to be in. And through the almost 3 years now that I've been doing these shows, I feel like I've gotten better at them. And I just want to continue to get better at them and be able to entertain and provide people with something to listen to pass the time. And you guys also help with that. So it's a two-way street. I don't have a co-host. I put things out there, and I hope that people decide to call and speak on them, and we still have a couple more calls. Let's get to them before the show ends. Something I wanted to add, because I've been almost assuming this, you know, similar to how Juan Soto had a little inflammation and they kept him out 3 days. I saw that, you know, Aaron Judge, as I was looking for the Nestor Cortez quote, Aaron Judge said, I told Boone I want to be in there tomorrow, right? Because they asked him if he's going to miss a day. The x-rays come out negative. Judge wants to play. Judge is the captain. Judge understands this is the Baltimore Orioles. This is a important series for us in the division, in the standings, and just to set a tone. And reminder, Judge had one hit last series. I've been vocal about Judge will not only have one hit in this series. So far, he has one hit in this series. He's trying to be in the lineup. Maybe he will be. Let's go to John in Bayside. John, you're on the Fan in New York.
Hi, Keith. I just want to talk a little about Willie Mays. I'm young at heart, but I certainly remember Willie. My favorite player as a little kid was Roy Kemp, Roy Campanella of the Dodgers. In my teens, it was definitely, sir, Say Hey Kid. He was great. He was my favorite player, in my teens and everything. And one memory I have of Willie, actually in the 1962 World Series, right before Ralph Terry of the Yanks, you probably have heard of it at least, struck out Willie McCovey. Willie Mays got a double, and it was second and third, and then the tying run, winning runs, and then Willie mined out to Bobby Richards, and I saw it all. Willie was great. I guess the only other player I saw equal to him, pitcher, was Sandy Koufax. He was just as good as Willie Mays. And Willie may have not been up to the standards of, let's say, the Yankees' Babe Ruth, but certainly, I mean, in his time, he was the best. There's no question. That's all I have to say.
Thanks for the call, John. I'm running out of time. 6 minutes to go. Let's go to Dan in Belmar. Dan, you got it.
Hey, what's going on, Keith? Thanks for taking my call. Rest in peace to a legend, obviously. Harold Reynolds, I don't know if you caught MLB Network at all today in the morning hours, but Harold Reynolds had a great interview. I think you should check out with a couple of the, I think the team was the Black Barons of the Negro League. Just a couple of those guys, they were at the park where the MLB is going to be having the game. So I think that was really cool. I think you'd like that a lot.
Yeah,
too.
I got to go look for it. I didn't catch it this morning, but thanks for the heads up.
Yep. Let me know if you like that. It was insightful and, really cool to see. And I think MLB is doing a great job with having the game there. It's cool to see them, renovate that park, but just a couple, Mets points. I think it's clear with the Mets that, they're not as bad as you thought they were, and they're not as good as they're playing right now. I think that's a big point for a lot of teams. It's never as, it's never as good as you think it is, and it's never as bad as it could be. But with the Mets specifically, I like what I've seen out of Luis Torrens, Jose Iglesias, those kind of like fringe guys that Stearns was able to pick up, or, really being impactful players for them.
Yeah, what I'll say about the Mets, and thanks for the call, Dan, is you're right? But they also weren't whole. They were banged up, right? J.D. Martinez showed up late. Edwin Diaz wasn't right. He had to step out. Francisco Alvarez broke his thumb. He wasn't there. So, also the new standards that are in place with a new manager, new president of baseball operations, it took some time for those to kick in. And then you do get guys sent packing. And you do have guys like Joey Wendell, goodbye. Jorge Lopez, you're out of here. Like, then you have guys coming in like Jose Iglesias and Luis Torrens. And it's just like when you're in that clubhouse and you're looking around and you're seeing, okay, we're not just going to, the organization is not just going to go through the motions and let them lose. Like, they're actively trying to make the right moves to win. And now they've hit this stretch in the month of June, whether it's Grimace, whether it's Francisco Alvarez, whatever. They've won their last seven. They've won 11 out of 13. And the Met fan that punted on the season that said, this team sucks, what's the use? They're eating their words and they're coming back now, and you're realizing that this is baseball. There's ebbs and flows. It's a roller coaster. You can get off the roller coaster in April and May, but what sense does that make? See where it goes. Matt in Floral Park on the Fan. You got it, Matt.
How you doing, Keith? Keith, wasn't there a third outfielder at the time? Like, was Duke Schneider, who plays for the Brooklyn Dodgers, and everybody always used to compare all three center fielders, how good they were. Was that Duke Schneider they were talking about?
Duke Schneider? Duke Schneider being compared to Willie Mays and Joe DiMaggio?
Well, you saw what we say about the three outfielders that the New York teams had at that time.
Yeah, at that time, I don't even know if my parents were alive. but yeah, I don't know the history enough to say it, but Duke Schneider, I'm looking him up.
Yeah, sure it was Duke Schneider.
Yeah,
used to 1947, say,
19. Yeah, so Duke Schneider, Willie Mays, Joe DiMaggio at that time, or Mickey Mantle at that time?
Well, no, it was Duke Schneider, Willie Mays, and Mickey Mantle. They all played center field at the same time. The Dodgers, Giants, and Yankees.
Yeah. Were you asking me? Or were you telling me? Or where were we going with that?
Well, no, I'm just saying that nobody mentioned Duke Schneider that day.
Oh, you're saying nobody mentioned him. Okay, I see. Well,
he was a good player also.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's tough in town if you have Willie Mays and Mickey Mantle. Somebody's got to come in third behind those two.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Oh, okay, that's all. I just wanted to bring that up. That's all.
Yeah. Thanks, Matt. You know, there's a book that I actually, Howie Rose recommended it, that I picked up, Boys of Summer. And I think I might have read the first couple of chapters. I got to read the rest because it details all of the history of New York baseball back when it was the Brooklyn Dodgers, the New York Yankees, and the New York Giants. It's just like such a foreign land. It's just like a land before time.
Yeah,
last call goes to Dwight in Asbury Park, down there where I'm from. What's up, Dwight?
Oh, yeah. I just saw some footage of Willie Mays playing stickball with young kids up in Brooklyn. That was one of the last images I had of him, used to hear about him when he was in his prime.
Yeah, that's circulating, and that's, you know, that's just some real stuff that you see, and it's like you think about one of the best ball players going out there and playing with kids. Like, you just never see that now unless there's like a promotion or a video being made. It's not organic like that.
All right, thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for making it. Thanks for all the calls. Thanks for all the stories, all the reminiscing. You guys letting me into your life years before my life and even my parents' life. Like, you know, that's what's great about the radio. It's been around so long. I know there's so many folks that are listening to the radio that can just be summoned to kind of teach us and educate some of the young people. And C-Mac's coming up next to continue the conversation around Willie Mays, of course. But more so the New York Yankees, the Mets, and whatever else C-Mac's got on the docket. Stay tuned for his show. Call his show if you couldn't get on with me. I'll be back tomorrow to do the same thing. See you then.
Sports Radio 101.